They carried him every day to that same temple gate, where he would sit and beg, a hopeless man. Nobody ever thought he had a chance to walk. Oh, how they were wrong. God had a plan. Then one afternoon, two men came to the temple, bearing a gift from the Lord. They told him to stand up, and soon he was leaping, shouting, I'm crippled no more. For I have been healed, I've been touched by his grace, and I felt its power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation: the God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known, let the truth be told. I have been healed. She walked through town each day, she hanged her head in shame. People would look her way, everyone knew her doctors had given up. 12 years was long enough. Well, they tried and there was nothing else they could do. Then one day when Jesus was passing through town, she touched just the edge of his robe. Well, he asked, who touched me? At first she was silent, and trembling, she knelt and spoke. I have been healed, I've been touched by his grace. Now I felt his power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation: the God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known, let the truth be told. I have been healed. Oh, the power still flows from the great physician. I felt it before in my life. He's transformed my heart, my body, my soul. Some have explained it away, but I know I have been healed. I've been touched by his grace. Now I felt his power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation: the God of creation has done a miracle in. Let my story be known, let the truth be told. I have been healed. Let my story be known, let the truth be told.
Brother Richard. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank God that everybody's here with us. Thank God for what he's doing in this place and what he has done. You know, sometimes when you start trying to do something for the Lord, you know you make the enemy angry. And he starts trying to do everything that he can to slow you down, to discourage you, to stop you. But we don't need to get discouraged. We need to keep pressing on. We need to keep trusting and believing. I want to read some scripture this morning out of Matthew chapter number 8 and Psalms chapter number 107. And I want to preach on this subject this morning, the other side of the storm. Now, this is something that's been on my heart and my mind really for over a week as I begin to look and see, you know, what God's doing. Now, I want to tell you something. Not every church out there is seeing people get saved. Not every church out there even has one baptized a year. I want to tell you, not every church out there has an outreach ministry like Celebrate Recovery and what we're doing at the prisons, to where we had, what, 380-something last year get saved by the grace of God? Now, amen. Now, I want to tell you something. The devil does not care if you go to church. He just doesn't want you to come to church and be serious about serving God. Because if it's a social club to you, he don't mind. Because if it's a social club, what happens is sometimes the church gets to looking so much like the world that the world can't make a difference, and he's winning. But when you come to church and you're serious about serving God, and you're serious about doing what God wants you to do, and you start reaching out trying to see lost people saved and trying to do your best to help somebody's life get changed, he gets mad. And he doesn't like it, just like when we talked last week about Nehemiah when he was working on that wall. And he went down there and he saw the destruction and he walked amongst the gates and amongst the rubble the night before, and he began to do a work for God. It made the enemy mad. But I want to tell you, sometimes storms come, but there's another side to the storm. Now if you stand this morning and read with me, we want to read in Matthew chapter number 8 and Psalms number 107. We'll pray and I'll let you be seated and I'll try to deliver the things that God has placed on my heart. But in Matthew chapter number 8, this is where Jesus quiets the storm. He gets into a boat and his disciples follow him. In verse number 23, it says, "And when he, Jesus, was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him." They went with him. "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perish. We're about to die. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Now flip over with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter 107, and we want to begin to read in the 21st verse. And these verses talk about a storm. And I want you to listen to the reading of these words. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, and so He bringeth them unto their desired haven." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for letting us be in Your house this morning. Lord, we need You. Lord, we need You. We need You. Lord, we can do nothing in ourselves. And Lord, I know that I can't do anything. I ask You, God, that You'd come on the scene. Lord, You'd move by Your Holy Spirit and You'd speak to us through Your Word. And God, help us to understand that You are in control, that You have a plan. And God, Your way is the only way that we can follow and know for assurance that we're going the right way. God, bless this church. God, bless everything that's done. And God, we pray that You'd send Your Word to speak to somebody's heart. And God, do it for you, for your honor and glory, for your children. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, I want to talk this morning about the other side of the storm. You know, one thing for certain, in the lives of God's people, storms are going to come. You're going to have difficulties and you're going to have trials and you're going to have things you're going to walk through in this life. You know, sometimes when storms come, they come because they're self-initiated or self-inflicted. Maybe something that we've done or something we've caused in our own life that makes a storm. But sometimes storms are sovereignly initiated. That's when God is working behind the scenes. We may not understand it, but He's in control. In the book of Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3 in the second half of the verse, it says, "The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet." You know, if you begin to think about it for just a minute, sometimes storms are very hard to understand. And sometimes you even question this, why do good things happen or bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to God's people when we're trying to do our very best to serve the Lord? But I don't have the answer to that. But sometimes it seems the farther we go, maybe the less we understand. It's like I heard a preacher. He said, you know, my dad was a pastor and he served God all of his life. And he said, my dad was stricken ill. And he said, I went to him and he said, I was struggling myself. He said, Dad, you're trying to serve God and do all these things. Why is it that this has happened to you? When you see all these people out here that are making mockery of God, they're not serving God. They're not real about serving God. And a preacher looked at his son and he said, here's one thing I want you to understand, son. He said, I've decided today that I'm going to praise God. He said, I'm going to praise Him in the storm. I'm going to praise Him when I'm on the mountain. And whatever God's will is and whatever God wants to do, let Him do it because I'm still going to praise Him. And then he said this, he asked his son this question. He said, why not me? He said, it would be easy for me to stand and praise God while I'm on the mountain. It's easy to praise God when all the bills are paid, or when you know where your kids are, or when nobody's in trouble. But what about when difficulty comes? That's when God gets the most glory from your life. And that's why we want to praise Him no matter what. Now here's something that I want you to understand about storms. This is very common about storms. All storms, eventually they stop. You know, we were here this week during Bible school and we had one day that we looked back over there and there was a dark cloud and we knew the rain was coming. You know, we had the iPhones out trying to predict how many minutes it would be till it hit. We even talked about moving some of the kids to different places. But you know what I said? I said, it'll come and it'll be rough for a little bit, but it'll pass over. Do you know that every storm that's ever happened has come to pass? Then the scripture says what? Weeping only endures for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now one thing I want us to understand in our lives, that God has a place for you. And God has, what did it say in this scripture? At the end, it said they were taken to their desired haven. Now I want you to understand, in every storm, God has a place for you. And when you go through the storm and you get to the other side of the storm, there are some things that take place. Now if you could imagine for just a minute being in a storm. Now we go through storms in life, but what about natural storms? Has anybody ever been in a tornado shelter like those they have out in Kansas, where when you go in it, you latch the door and you buckle it, and you're inside the storm? And I've even seen these videos where the tornado would pass right over the shelter. They would look up and see the roof of their shelter rattling, wondering whether or not the latch was actually going to hold until the storm passed. They would hear the noise and it would eventually, just like it was trains passing overhead, in a few minutes it would be a calm and a quiet. And they'd reach up and they'd open that latch and sometimes even push debris out of the way and they'd come up and they'd look around. Now here's the first thing that I want you to understand that about being on the other side of the storm. It is a place of reflection. Well, here's what I mean by that. It's when you come to the other side of the storm and you open that latch and you look out and you look around, you learn some things. And here's the first thing that I have learned when I come to the other side of the storm is I've learned a lot about me. You see, when I come through a storm and I open that door and I look out and I see all that destruction and I look at all of that trouble that's come to pass, one thing I learned real fast is I am not God. You ever been in the midst of a storm and you want to do everything you can to control it? You want to do everything you can to stop it? You want to make it different than it is? And you come to the point that you realize sometimes there's absolutely nothing that I can do about it. Nothing. I have no ability, I have no power, I have nothing that I can do. I learned so much about me. I learned about my strengths. I learned about what my limitations are. You know, sometimes in the midst of the storm, and folks, I've walked through them too. I walk through them now. I walk through them in my life trying to pastor a church and really be exactly where God wants me to be. The devil doesn't like it when you're serving God. And when I'm going through a storm, what I really try to do is hold on to what I know. You see, because I've been through storms before. I've been through trials before. And sometimes you can do the very best you can to hold on to what you know, but you're not going to be learning if God doesn't take you into new waters. That's why He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, and He may take you to a place that you've never been before to teach you some things about yourself. And when I begin to learn, I recognize there are still some things that I don't know. And when I look at me, I recognize that even when I try to be strong and I try to stand, I realize that I am absolutely my strongest when I get quiet and I bow to my knees. You ever been in a storm that all you can do is find a quiet place somewhere and just sit down? You ever been in a hospital and the doctor give you the news and you just don't know what to do? The only thing you can do, have you ever went to the chapel in a hospital and just sat there by yourself and looked and said, God, where are you? God, would you speak to me? God, would you help me? Because you learn that you can't do it by yourself. You learn what your strengths are. You learn what your weaknesses are. You ever had to say, I'm really just not as strong as I thought I was? I have. You know, as a man, we don't like to admit that. Now, I can't comment on you ladies, but I imagine it's the same. You ever tried to have the answer and you tried to give what you knew and you find and you realize it's just not enough? Because storms take everything and the power that they have and they pour them on you, and they're oftentimes greater than you are. See, when you're in the midst of a storm, you learn about yourself. You learn about your strengths, you learn about your weaknesses, and you learn about your friends. You remember Job? He was over there and a storm came. The house fell in on his family and his children, and the one escaped to come tell him. While he sat there, the messengers came one right after another until he lost everything that he had. And even his wife looked at him that didn't have the faith that he had, and she said, why don't you just curse God and die? And then some friends heard about it. They come to where Job was at and they sat down with him, and they sat there for 7 days without speaking. And as they looked at him, and they did not speak to him for those number of days, when they did begin to speak, what came out of their mouth? It wasn't encouragement. You see, because sometimes the storm is so difficult, and I've seen this in my own life when my dad was a pastor, and I had a little sister that died of cancer when she was 3 years old. People would come to the house, and rather than try to encourage you, have you ever heard somebody say, well, this wouldn't happen if there wasn't sin in your life? Oh, yeah. I want to tell you, God does not sin those people. And we need to understand that God does not send them. I've seen people write letters in churches to people who had little children that need kidney transplants, telling them that kid would not be in the shape they're in if your heart and your life was right with God. Let me tell you, God's people do not act that way. We need to understand who we are. We need to go back to point number one. Who am I? I don't have all the answers. You learn about your understanding. Can I tell you, we're not always going to know why things happen. We're not always going to understand it. We're not always going to be able to figure it out. And there, you know, you can say, well, I've been studying about it, or I've been praying about it. But you know, there may come a time that we'll find out, but it's going to be when we're able to sit at Jesus' feet and we're able to talk to Him and get Him to hold our hand and walk with us through those times and help us to understand that a lot of times there are things going on that we can't see, that God does. Amen. You see, it's a place, number one, of reflection, of learning about me. But number two, it's a place of learning about God. And we need to understand that. When you talk about learning about God, it's learning about God's faithfulness. See, in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse 5, the Lord said, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And here's what I want you to understand. When you're in a storm, you're not by yourself. You're not by yourself. Now you remember when Noah was in the ark, that's the greatest storm in history. When they built the ark the way that God told them to build it. They did it the way He told them to do it. And then when it was time to come inside, He didn't say, go in the ark. He said, come in the ark. Because He was already in the ark. And when they come in the ark, He shut the door. And when He shut the door, doesn't the Bible teach us what God shuts, no man can open? So they were in that storm, but God was in that storm with them. There's a guy that I work with. He said, we had a tornado come through our neighborhood. And he said, it come through so fast, I couldn't get my kids in the house. He said, my kids were outside in a treehouse. He said, they panicked and didn't come in. He said, so I just run out there and got with them. Now, I'll tell you what that means. You know, one thing sometimes we try to do is we run and look out for number one. You know what God does? All His children have to do is cry, Lord, and they run to where He's at. I want you to understand, He runs to where you're at, and He'll be with you in the midst of the storm. Because God is faithful in the storm. When we're going through it and we're reflecting, we understand where God's presence is at. You see, because sometimes the only comfort we've had when we're looking back on the storm was when God was with us. It was God's presence. It was His peace that He gives. What else do you learn when you're looking back on the storm? You know, we learn how to follow the Spirit of God. Sometimes by hindsight. You can look back and you can see where God spoke, but you didn't listen. Every time you walk through it, every time you go through a storm, you learn how to look back and see that God spoke, but I didn't listen. So as we're reflecting on the storm, we look back. How many times can we say, I saw where God spoke? I saw where God gave direction, but the storm had me so rattled. What does it say in the book of Psalms? It says they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. You've heard people use that term. Well, here's where it originated, right here. Psalms 107 and verse 27. You ever been at your wits' end? Just don't know what you're going to do. That's when you really you know what you have to do? You have to get still. You have to get quiet. And you have to listen and wait on God to move. You see, the other side of the storm is a place of reflection. Number two, it is a place of restoration. See, the first thing you do when you open the top of that shelter and you look out and look at all the damage, a lot of times what you realize is you got to rebuild. When I look at this scripture and it says they cried unto the Lord and He took them and brought them unto their desired haven. The place of restoration is your desired haven. It's the place that God has intended and desired to take you to. Number one, it's a place of peace. See, you get to the other side of the storm and it shall pass and it does pass. It's the time that you begin to really listen for God and you're looking for God's peace. Why? Because you want to do anything you can do to be out of that turmoil. It's a place where you're looking for God's peace, and it's a place where you are rebuilding what has been broken down. See, sometimes what you rebuild is things. But one thing you understand, when you go through a storm, you don't run out and say, well, my car's gone. You don't run out and say, well, my house is tore up. You know what most people say? Where's my son? Where's my wife? Where's my daughter? Where's my mother? Where's my sister? You know, the things that matter most in life cannot be bought with money. And when we begin to take inventory, we ought to realize that very quickly. It's a time to rebuild. Well, what do you rebuild? The first thing you need to rebuild is your commitments, your vows, and your relationships. You see, because sometimes when you go through storms, what happens is people just get plumb sideways. Because they are at their wits' end, they're reeling to and fro, they cannot think. That's when we have to cry out to God that God would put His hand on us and bring us to our desired haven. See, this place of restoration is a place of peace, a place of rebuilding. And I want you to know this. It is a place to build an altar. Now you think about this one for just a minute, because I think this is very important. Every storm I've ever walked through, every trial, every valley, I cannot tell you that I've ever went through one that I didn't have to go to the altar. You know, that altar might be in my closet. It might be me and the Lord riding down the road, but I'm building an altar to God. I'm thanking Him for helping me to make it through that storm, but I'm thanking Him also for being merciful to me, because the truth is, a lot of times going through that storm, I learn so much about me that I have to say, God, forgive me. Because God, I'm not who I thought I was. You build that altar to the Lord. And when you build an altar, the word, it basically means to lift up. Do you know that when they built altars and they built them off of the ground, have you ever thought about that the ground is cursed? And they'd build that altar and they'd lift that sacrifice up off the ground to get it up to a place that it could be holy and lift it up to the Lord. Because when you come through a storm and you come through on the other side, it is a time to bow and thank God for what He's done in your life. Have you ever said, because of God's mercy, because of God's grace, because of what God is showing you, that you just look at Him and you say, Lord, I'm overwhelmed? I have. There's a popular song that they sing on the radio that has that line in it. And in the movie that's put together by Sharon Baptist Church down in Albany, Facing the Giants, there's a part in that story to where the lead character is going through storm after storm after storm. Because he's failing in his job and at the school. He's failing, he feels like, at being a husband and in his home. And he's bowing before the Lord, and he gets to the point. Here's what he does. He takes the Bible and he opens it and he reads Scripture and he cries out to the Lord and he asks God for help. Now, when God comes on the scene and God begins to move, then you go forward in the story. There's a sign, a part where he's on his knees at his coffee table. And he says, Lord, I'm overwhelmed. Why are we overwhelmed? Because when we see God as who He is and we see us as who we are, we know our successes, our blessings, our good times, they come from Him because He's God and we're not. And then you get overwhelmed because He loves you and He wants to pour blessings on you. And that when you do build that altar in this place of restoration, guess what? God doesn't come with a big stick and say, well, you failed the test. That's not what it's about. God comes and He puts His arm around you because He wants you to gain strength. He wants you to learn, because you're learning. And I want you to understand something. Long as you live this life, long as you're on this earth, you're going to be learning and God's going to be teaching. It's not going to change. You're not going to get so old that it doesn't happen anymore. You're going to be learning and God's going to be teaching, and you keep building altars. You keep coming to the altar and God keeps pouring out mercy. God keeps pouring out blessings because He is the master of the sea and the storm. What did they say? What manner of man is this that even the wind and seas obey Him? Let me tell you something else about restoration in the storm. It's a place where you learn comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Have you ever needed God's comfort? Have you ever been in a position that you're crying out to the Lord? And I'm going to be honest with you, the only one that can help you see Him. There comes a time when there's not a phone number in the phone that's going to work for you. There comes a time that there's not a person you can call that's going to do it. But you just cry out to God. And when God comes and He comforts you, guess what that does in your life? It gives you the ability, because what God's done in your life, that when somebody else is going through the same storm or facing the same trouble or the same trial, you have something to give them because God gave it to you. That's why it says that we comfort others with the same comfort that we're given from God. So when you're going through this storm in this place of restoration, you learn comfort. What are you doing? You're learning how to be a vessel that God can use for His honor and glory, so that you might be able to help somebody in need. Do you know that there's some of you that have the ability to witness to others in a way that I will never have? And you say, "Well, I can't quote all that scripture. I don't know all that Bible." Guess what you've got? You've got your story. And your story is all you need to be able to tell. Just tell them what God has done in your life and the storms that God has brought you through, the blessings that God has given you, because your story will change somebody's life. You learn comfort. It's a place where you learn who God is. Now, we talk about who God is. In our Bible school this week, number one was know your guide. Well, our guide is Jesus. You ask the kids, they were excited Friday night. Jesus. They knew who their God was. But do you know Him? You see, I want to tell you something. And this is something I don't like, but this is what the Bible teaches. Sometimes it's in the storms. And I'm not talking about a little rain. I'm not talking about just a little thunder or lightning. But I'm talking about something that's got you pinned down to where you cannot move. That you learn who God is. Now in the book of Job, chapter 42, verse number 5 and verse number 6, here's what Job said. When he went through that storm, 42 chapters, dealing with those friends that said, "Job, basically, this happened because you have hidden sin in your life." That's a lie. That's not what happened. Here's what Job said. He said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." You see, when you go through the storm and you reflect on the storm, you reflect on yourself, your relationship with God, what God's taught you, and you look at the restoration process and what God's done, what God wants to do in your life. It's like I heard a preacher say, counseling someone who had lost a small child. He said, when you go through this and you walk through it and you learn to accept the grace of God, you walk through a place and learn intimacy with the Almighty that a lot of people only talk about. Do you know that when you walk through the storm and you get to the other side and you learn really who God is and you trust Him and you stand in His grace, you learn a relationship and intimacy with God that most people never experience because they're never really willing to mount up to the waves and ride with God and let Him take you to your desired haven. I know this is not easy. And I know the storms of life are difficult, but I know that there's one God, one mediator between God and men. There's no other. It's like when the disciples came to Jesus and there were hard sayings and many of them did not understand what Jesus was saying. And they looked at Him and they turned and they went another way. He looked at His disciples and He said, "Will you also go away?" And this is what they said. They said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? For there is no other. It's a place of reflection, a place of restoration. And it's a place of conversion. And I want to give you this scripture in Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 31. This is where the Lord calls Simon to him. And he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. A storm's coming. He's telling him there's a storm coming. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for you. He says, Lord, not that you'd take them out of the world, but that you'd keep them from evil. Here the Lord looks at Peter and he said, there's a storm coming. Satan doesn't like what you're doing. And he wants you. But I want to tell you something. Jesus said, I'm praying for you. Do you know where Jesus is at right now? The Bible teaches us he's seated on the right hand of the Father and he's making intercession for you and I to God the Father. That means that the devil can't come near us without God knowing it and God praying for us. He said, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. The word converted comes from the Greek word epistrepho, which means to revert, to turn again, or convert. Now here's what it means. It's a place where you learn to follow God. It's like the song that we sing, where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, all the way. Now what did Job say? He said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. You see, it's a place where you learn to follow God, where you learn to trust Him. It's like the preacher that said, son, why not me? Why should I go through my life and never have a trial? And it is a place where God makes cake. Now I want to explain to you what I'm talking about. In Romans chapter 8 in verse number 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. Now sometimes for God to work in our life, there's different things that come at us. I like cake. Now let me tell you what cake is, okay, real quickly. Cake was when we were up here Thursday night and we gave an invitation and little kids just come down. Cake was when I was standing out here under this pavilion and they brought me these little kids. They said, I just want to tell you that God saved me. Cake was when we see our children moving forward for the honor and glory of God and they don't quit because you didn't quit. That's cake. But sometimes we don't like what it takes to make cake. You know what it takes to make cake? It takes flour. I don't know about you, but I don't like to eat dry flour. You put it in your mouth and it sticks, and you know, I mean, y'all eat dry flour, I'm sure, right? I don't like dry flour. Now, there was a time in my life when I was reading Charles Atlas books, and I might drink a few raw eggs, but I didn't do it much. I'm not one of them that can turn them up. But you know, when you're making cake, you need eggs. I don't want no raw eggs. I like mine cooked a certain way. But when you're making cake, it takes flour. It takes eggs. It takes lard. You know, we were talking out here this week about when I was growing up, my mother cooked. She cooked with lard. I want to tell you, fried potatoes don't taste the same unless you cook them with lard. But I don't get the spoon out and go get me a hunk of lard. And then there's sugar. I'm one of those people that when I'm eating cake, I don't like it too sweet. I don't like a whole lot of icing on it. I like that pumpkin bread and stuff like that. And then vanilla extract. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, my mother kept that vanilla extract because she cooked. I remember going in there one day thinking, boy, them sugar cookies sure were good. I got that vanilla extract. I don't tell you, it might as well have been vinegar. And I realize you have to do other things with it. But you know, to make cake, you got to have flour, and you got to have eggs, and you got to have lard and butter. And you got to have some salt. But when you eat those things by themselves, it's like what you experience when you're going through storms. You don't like any of it. But sometimes in your relationship with God, when God is building, and you got this that you walk through over here, and this that you walk through over here, and this that you walk through over here, what God's doing is building character and doing something in your life so that He can make cake. Because God wants you, it's kind of like I heard a saying, when you're raising young people, if you want to grow up to be a beautiful rose, there has to be some pruning along the way. And sometimes what God's doing and when God is working, we don't like it, it's uncomfortable. But the Scripture says that all things work together for the good of them that love God. See, God might be making cake. We sang the song or we played it at the beginning of our service, He is God alone. In the good times and bad, you are on your throne, you're on your throne. He's unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. Remember, He's God, and we're not. And the last one, and it is a place where you must learn to worship. The worst thing you can do in your life is get in the midst of a storm and turn your back on God. Don't walk away from God when God is trying to do something in your life that could change your life for the better for the rest of your life. See, when I go through storms, I'm to the point in my life, you know, I don't like it. There's things I don't like. But immediately, I don't ever get in a storm that I'm not thinking about my wife. I'm not thinking about my boys. I'm not thinking about my daughter, even my son-in-law. That's gotten saved since we've known Him. I think about my grandson. I think about this church. I think about my testimony. That when I'm in that storm, I want to come through it because it will pass. And when I get through it, I want to be able to worship Him as being God, as being master, as being commander in a way that I didn't even worship Him before the storm came. Because He's God. It's like the preacher said, Lord, I'm going to praise You when it's good. I'm going to praise You when it's bad. So do whatever You will, Lord, because I'm Yours. Are you His this morning? Ask Him to come, if you would, with a song. Whoever's going to sing this morning. But when we get through the storm and we look back and we're on the other side of the storm, we realize that He's God, that I'm not. I can't control it, I can't stop it. There's nothing that I can do other than depend on Him and ask Him to lead me and guide me. You see, because when you get to your wit's end, that's the place just past it. You find your desired haven, and it's a place where we learn intimacy in our relationship with God. If you would stand to your feet this morning, if God spoke to your heart, I'll tell you there's nothing more important, as Brother Richard sings, than you doing business with God. Every storm, every valley, every trial, when you get through it, we walk through it, we look back, we see how good, how great God is. I'll tell you right now, God wants to make cake in somebody's life this morning, amen? If you feel like praying, this is your opportunity.
Made of wood,
built by man, there it stood, salvation's plan. Adam's fall and my own sin, it was all placed on him. Without the cross, I would not know redeeming love that sought my soul. Without the blood, where would I be? I would be lost. For all destined to reach me at last, without the cross, I would not know redeeming love that sought my soul. Without the blood, where would I be? I would live my life for Jesus Christ, for all he's done for me. Without the cross, I would not know redeeming love that's on my soul. Without the blood, where would I would be lost. I would be lost. I would be lost. Without the cross.
You know, a relationship with God is personal. It's between you and Him. And it's one of those things that it really needs to grow and grow and grow until you're in His presence. When you read the writing of Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, you find that in his relationship with God, the closer he got, you know what? The better he saw himself. That's why the closer he got to God, we ought to grow. We need to grow. And this is a, you know why? Because y'all love each other. And it's all about Him.
Amen.
It ain't about arguing about what color the carpet is. Or who's going to do what. step on up here with me. I've got Jerry Wilcox and Ricky Hanna wanting to come join the church. Looks like both of them want to be baptized. So we're going to have a baptizing July the 12th.